afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. I'm John Coffey, alongside with Matt Tritton, and we've got a good show on hand, talking basketball as well as indoor track and field for our program here today. And Matt, for Northwest Missouri State in basketball on the men's side, another big win for the Cats, defeating a Missouri Western team in a rivalry that goes back many years. But you look at that rivalry right now, 21 straight wins for the Northwest Missouri State men's team over Missouri Western. So even when Missouri Western has had some very good teams, the Northwest has found a way to come up with some good wins.
Yeah, you know, it's you don't want to say it's surprising, because you look at the resume for Northwest Missouri State men's basketball, especially over the last 10 years or so, and you know just how good that program is. But when you think about a conference team, a team that is your rival here, geographically right down the road, Missouri Western, as you mentioned, has some good teams. They've been on the up and up with Sundance Wicks, now to Will Martin. You just expect at some point they're going to have a night where shots are going down, and maybe the Bearcats are cold, and they find a way to pull one out. But it just hasn't been that, and just the longevity of Northwest men's basketball has been so impressive in this recent surge. But then you just look at that in particular, of beating up on a team like Missouri Western. Bearcat fans love it. It's just something wild to see, that you just don't see that typically, of that kind of dominance over one program that you see so often. But boy, Northwest finds a way to put it on them. And it's worth noting, too, 87-64 final. You know, it's a two-point game, 10 minutes into the first half, and all of a sudden the Bearcats rip off a 16-0 run and just didn't look back from that point. So it's fun to watch this team work and just know they can flip that switch and go.
And one of the things, too, when you look at Missouri Western this year, they've got a lot of length in that starting lineup, a lot of guys that can score from outside, knock in some threes. But I think, too, one of the things, I don't think Missouri Western's been quite the same team after COVID as they were before COVID, although including in that after COVID is that big win over Emporia State. But with the exception of that, they've kind of struggled in some areas where they were probably hitting on all cylinders there early in the season.
And that's the only team that I know that you and I can really point to that has had COVID-19 issues here in the 2022-23 season at this point. That's something that, you know, last year we saw a little bit touch here and there, but for the most part, it's kind of been pushed behind us, and we all kind of moved forward to this point. But yeah, Missouri Western had a bout of it, got knocked back a bit, had to take a week off, and trying to get themselves back going, and had some close ones against Northeastern and Rogers to where they got down, came back, made it a ball game, couldn't pull it out. This was one, the final 30 minutes, just they weren't even in the same building as Northwest Missouri State. Now, had they not gone through COVID, they've been in a rhythm and knocked off some wins since then. You know, maybe it's a closer game, but you just kind of feel like comparing these two teams side by side, Northwest head and shoulders the better team, and shows in that final score.
You know, you look at the last three games for Northwest, too, kind of similar starts to all three of those games, where Northwest either fell behind early or playing with the team, and then all of a sudden they kind of flip the switch there at some point. They're midway through the first half, and once they get that switch flipped, they never look back, and they were impressive the rest of the way.
Yeah, they really were, and you'd look at the way that one went, that Missouri Western did have that early slim lead, but the Bearcat defense never wavered, even whenever shots didn't fall. And you talk about the hustle plays of pulling in rebounds, diving for loose balls. I think Northwest totaled 5 charges in that game against Missouri Western. I want to say Diego Bernard had 3, maybe a couple for West Dreamer as well. And it's the little things, the hustle plays, getting in, getting your feet set, getting in front, and being right there and playing defense with your feet, not just trying to swat the ball away and you know, picking up fouls in that way. It's a team that is really disciplined and doing a nice job. And you think about, we talk so much about Bennett Sturts and how he has played as a true freshman. Of course, West Dreamer's been fantastic. The boy, really seeing Diego Bernard kind of hit a new level. You knew he was a great player already, but you know, no Trevor Hudgens out there. How does he handle being, all right, you are the guy as the senior guard? And boy, he has met the expectations of then some.
You know, his offensive numbers we'll talk about here in a bit too, just are extremely impressive right now. But on the post game, Coach McCollum talked about those 3 charges that Diego forced there in the first half, and how that really was a game changer, and just the intensity level that Diego's playing out there means so much to this team.
It really is, and you know what, he goes out there and just plays at such a high level, and draws a charge, lets out that yell, and kind of fires up the crowd and the team. But at the same time, too, gets going a little bit fast at times. Had 3 early turnovers, but didn't really let that waver either. He just kind of moved on and forgot about the last play, moved on to the next one. So it's fun to see that the way that he does play the game out there, and he talked about the offensive numbers that we'll hit on, too. to get those charges, there's a level of anticipation, basketball IQ, film study, understanding how something's going to break down to where in that split second, bam, you're there, feet are set, you're not in the restricted zone, and you're drawing that charge as opposed to reacting late and getting called for a blocking foul. So every little thing he does just is pretty impressive off the charts right now.
You know, the numbers I'm going to talk about next are impressive, but even more impressive when you consider this is coming from a guard that's taken some shots from the outside. 72% field goal percentage in the last six games, averaging over 17 points a game. And now, when you see somebody shooting that high of a percentage, normally a post player, they're shooting about 2 or 3 feet out from the bucket or something, they're going down with some slam dunks and things. But you never see 72% from a guard over an extended period of time, such as what Diego's had here.
I think you would have taken 72% at the free throw line in high school, let alone 72% from the field. You're right. A lot of those guys that are shooting like that for decent stretches are guys that are getting everything from a foot out, and they're big dudes that are 6'10", not, you know, what, 6 foot maybe guards out there getting some jump shots up and playing at the speed that he does. I mean, those are some unheard of numbers right there for Diego Bernard, and it just goes to show, all right, once we do get into February, March, how do those numbers continue to go? Because it does feel like he plays his best basketball as we do hit that point of these games are crucial.
And it's not only points and not only defense, but this last game he had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and those numbers have been fairly consistent along the line too. So he's getting boards. He's also finding his teammates where they're set up for some good looks as well. So he's just having a very complete season right now.
He is. You know what? Him and his dad, Chris Bernard, I think they've gone to the gym and been playing basketball since he was just a little kid, came up playing a lot of just, pickup games. He kind of learned how to see the floor, and he kind of has learned how to see it much better than many other guys. And he always just kind of has that sixth sense of where his teammates are going to be. And credit the guys around him, too, of the Luke Waters, the West Streamers, the Danny LeBreus, Bennett Sturtzes, of finding that opening and saying, if I'm open, he's going to find me and get me the ball and knock down a shot, and they have made the most of that for sure.
Yeah, and those no-look passes that he has, they have to be ready for those passes to come their way because he's going to find you one way or another there.
If your hands are enough, he'll knock you out with some of those.
Now, on the women's side, a tough loss against Missouri Western, but they did a lot of things well in that game, in particular defense, holding a very good Missouri Western offensive team, which leads the league in scoring to just 55 points, but unfortunately, the Northwest women just couldn't get the offense going against Missouri Western.
Yeah, it's a Missouri Western team that averages 79 points per game. That was tops in the MIAA heading into the weekend, and the Bearcats holding them down to 55, really controlling the tempo for most of the game. There were some moments where Missouri Western, of course, is able to get out and run and play the speed that they wanted to play at. For the most part, the Bearcats did a good job of, you know, they broke some of the pressure, they got up the floor, they took, you know, 25 seconds off the shot clock and worked around for a good look. It was just a matter of, again, those shots not going down. And so you look at that 55 given up, but only 37 for the Bearcats. That's something, of course, that Coach Meyer trying to address with his team and get that all sorted out as we do get deep in a conference play, because it doesn't get easier from here. Go on the road and play a tough place to play coming up in Edmond, Oklahoma, coming up on Thursday. So, you know, that won't let up at all. But it's just kind of, yeah, figuring that out. And why won't some of those shots fall that we did see them fall early on in the season? Again, we've talked about it before, but, you know, Southwest Minnesota State put up 95 points in that basketball game to start things off, a game played out in Kearney, Nebraska, so not even on the Bearcats' home hoop. So sorting that out and figuring out what exactly is going on, but the one thing you can take away from it is the defense is lagging. Shots aren't going down. They're not necessarily wearing that to the other end and allowing that defensive miscues and allowing a lot of easy layups. This is a team that's working hard on the other end for sure.
Yeah, and you see them go for those 50-50 balls, diving on the floor after loose balls, just doing the hustle things there that you just know it's going to start paying off at some point as the season goes along.
Yeah, averaging 10 offensive rebounds per game, and Kelsey Fields is now the top rebounder and top offensive rebounder in the MIAA. So, you know, a young lady from Creston, Iowa, putting up 9.5 boards per contest, and you feel like she's getting better and better, especially on that end, and some of that aggressive nature coming out in her, but just kind of a matter of everyone finding a way to get the ball in the basket.
Now, we'll also talk some indoor track as our show goes along here. Brandon Masters, the head track and field coach, along with Hurdler and Olivia Satterfield will be joining us, and they've got a big meet coming up this weekend up in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, they do. A chance to go up to the graduate classic. And I know Coach Masters talked with you a little bit last week of, all right, students are coming back in this week, and who's going to go up and who's going to stay back? It does kind of depend on how you treated your Christmas break. Was it just kind of relaxing the whole time or getting after it and working hard? And I know Olivia's one that has been putting in a lot of the work that he's been really proud of for what she has put in, not only within the meets, but also away from them too. So, you know, she's fourth all time in the 300 meters sprint there for the women indoor, and it's a team with a lot of depth there top to bottom on that women's indoor track and field team, and Olivia's a big part of that. So if she can continue to have a good season, part of that 4x400 meter relay as well, kind of a catalyst for that group as they move forward, and again trying to find a different way to get themselves into that national meet, which is well down the line, but it's never too early to get that provisional qualifier, is it?
No, not at all. Get it out of the way early. That way you don't have to worry about it as the season goes along.
That's right.
Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot more coming up on our program right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KR&W comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KR&W is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KR&W is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're broadcasting live as we do on Tuesday afternoons from Pizza Ranch, and joined now by a guard from the Bearcat basketball team, Diego Bernard. And Diego, it's been good to have you back with us here on the show and coming off another good game with that win over Missouri Western.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you having me.
And let's just kind of talk about some numbers. Matt and I were talking about some of these numbers before you came on here that are just unbelievable right now. 72% from the field over the last, what, six games? I believe, averaging over almost 18 points a contest. Not only that, what you're doing with assists, rebounds, it's just unreal. Now, that 72%, we were saying, is good for, you might see that maybe by a post player where they're just shooting, even 2 feet from a bucket. But being a guard, shooting that percentage is just unreal. Just kind of talk a little bit about how that's come about for you. I mean, you've always been a good outside shooter, but just these numbers here in the last few games, what's the difference with you here?
Oh, yeah, Just coming in, just trying to not make the moment too big for me. Just coming in, knowing that we don't have Trev anymore. Just that guy. Just trying to hone in on what I can do. Just trying to make my layups go off 2 feet so I'm under control. And then just shoot the shots that I know that I can make. Just not trying to force any shot. Just going in there, and all credit goes to Zay working me out. Just shooting shots after shots after shots, just repetition. And just coming in and then shooting the same shots that I take with him in the game. So.
And you look at the win over Missouri Western, these numbers have been primarily about the same through any of these games during the stretch. You had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. So it's not necessarily offensive numbers you're putting up point-wise, but you're distributing the ball well to your teammates and getting a lot of big rebounds in key moments of the ball game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It helps when West goes 5 for 5 from the three-point line. It makes my job a little bit easier. Just everybody keen on the drives when I drive. Just people gonna help off and just kicking it to shooters. They're ready to shoot the ball and just coming off the screens. Maybe I hit B for a little dive. He'll finish the layup. Just everybody just being ready for the ball when it's their time just going to get the ball on the rebound side of things, just trying to go high, point the ball when it's in the air, and just coming down with boards.
Now, when you guys came down on offense early in the game with Missouri Western, you saw that they went into that zone defense. Did you guys just get a little bit big at that particular point, knowing that there might be an opportunity for West to go off?
Oh, yeah, man. Going into the game, we didn't know that they was going to go zone. They went zone the first two possessions. So we was like, hold on, what are they in real quick? When they went zone, I just went to the middle, and then when I caught the ball, they was compacting on me, so I was just easy kickouts to him, to Luke, to Bennett too. So I mean, just when you get zone for us, it's hard to keep our shooters from shooting.
And another, I think, thing that was impressive in that game, you out-rebounded Missouri Western. Their team's got a lot of size and a lot of length there with inside, and even their guard play. They've got some guys that are pretty give you a little bit of height situation there too. And you guys just, I think it says a lot about fundamentals to where you guys such fundamentally sound team going for rebounds and things where it makes it tough for the opponents to come up with boards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just that week in practice, we was working on all box outs. We knew they was going to be big. The Dixon guy, Tay Fields, goes crash the glass really hard. They got a couple 7-footers or whatever. But it just shows what Mac teaches us. Just stays in our head and trying to get big boards for the big games down the line.
Yeah, you got a few of those coming up here, and one in particular that we'll talk about here in just a moment too. But overall, the past week or so, I think we had you on the post game and talked a little bit about this too. But pretty good week for you. Celebrating a birthday, your dad had a birthday, and kind of a good way to cap off a good week for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. It went my birthday and then my dad's birthday. I went down to St. Joe and got dinner with them both days. Just seeing my parents' face and smiling, laughing, man. Nothing can get better than that. And just coming off with a win with the hometown too, it just caps off a good week for sure.
Also, I understand you had an opportunity to see your old alma mater Lafayette in a game as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. I went down there when they played Maryville. It was a good game. Maryville was with them for the three quarters, and just Lafayette took over end of the third, going into the fourth, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because, you know, that's Lafayette. So
how's it feel to go back from time to time into the old high school?
Oh, it's good. Get to see an old faces. Everybody just as you was in high school, and you're growing into the person you are today. Just feels good. Gives everybody just good seeing faces for sure.
Well, you know, and you played for Chris Neff there at Lafayette, and then you got a teammate who didn't go to Lafayette at all, but Byron Alexander had a chance to play for Coach Neff. You guys kind of sit back and compare Coach Neff stories from time to time.
Oh, man, I got a few of them. I bet B got a few of them too. It just shows in how we play. How we play, like, aggressively. Our defense, going in and blocking shots, defending the ball. Just stuff that Coach Neff preaches from Lafayette, and then he's taking it to Staley too. So it just, all credit goes out to him. And I know me and B, we had to get together and share some stories for sure.
Now, are there any similarities between Coach Neff and what Coach McCollum does at the college level here?
Just the intensity they come to every practice, day in and day out. They're going to have the same energy. You're going to get the best of them. They're going to get the best of you. And if they don't get the best of you that day, you're going to hear them. You're going to feel it, and you're going to run if they told you a few times and you're not doing it. Just the dedication they have in their craft, and just trying to get the best out of players every day.
Well, you got a big week coming up here. A big one, first of all, on Thursday night, a trip down to Edmond, Oklahoma, Central Oklahoma, which has been a tough place to play for a lot of teams. That tough overtime loss a year ago down there. And, of course, you look at it right now, they're just, what, I believe, just a half game ahead of Northwest in the MIAA standings. So whoever wins this game is going to be on top of the standings coming up Thursday evening about 10:30 or so. So, how much fun are matchups like this to you as you prepare this week?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is why you come in Northwest. You want to play in the top games against the top teams, just to be the first in the conference. Just going down there, I'm not going to say we owe them one, but last year they got us on an overtime win. Trev hit the big shot to put us in overtime, and they end up coming victorious at the end. We're just trying to get down there and just do what we didn't do last year and just come out there with a win.
What are some of the things that you've been seeing on tape and just in preparation for them this year that might be a little bit different from what they had last year? Of course, Northwest a little different too, with Trev not being part of the team. They lost one of their big guys to graduation a year ago, and I think their point guards missed a lot of games right now this season with an injury. But what are some of the things that you've seen about Central Oklahoma? Because obviously they're still playing some very good basketball right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, they, like you said, they lost their big in Isaiah Wade. He was a handful down there, big, strong guy, could finish from both hands in, could step out and shoot the three. They're always going to be long, always going to be well coached, always going to get after it. Yeah, their point guard hasn't played that much this year. I imagine he'll play against us, and we're just going to be looking forward to him. And then Jaden Wells, he's been playing good. Their shooter, we can't let him get going. And I just feel like if we play our defense, then we should be okay.
Yeah, and one of the things I would think, too, that should be big in this game is just getting off to a good start in this one. The last couple games, maybe a little bit of a slow start for Northwest, but once you got things rolling, you never looked back there. But again, against a team like UCO, are you kind of concentrating on getting off to a good start here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like you said, we've been coming out not playing our best basketball the first, like, 3 minutes to start the games. And if we do that down there, we could be in a big hole and trying to fight our way back out there. And that's not a place that you want to get in the hole and try to get back out, because you know it's going to be packed. And it's the number one game, so we're going to just try to do what we do in practice. I'm going to bring the intensity for the first 3 minutes, and just trying to start off on a good note.
And after that, day off, but you'll stay down in that area and then hit to Wichita for Newman, and that's always a team you can't overlook either.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, they're playing good basketball late. There's always a good time when you go down to Newman. I think I've been there two times maybe just in my career, and I like their arena. It feels like everybody's on packed to you, and then they got the walk up top. So now it's a good arena to play in, and they're going to be ready to go for sure.
Now this time of year last year, I think probably a question you probably got tired of answering from are you coming back for another year? So you haven't had to worry about that. This year is a chance to maybe be a little more relaxed, knowing that this is it for you, and just go out and play some basketball here and not have to answer those questions.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In the summer, people was asking me what I was going to do. I knew in the back of my mind what I was going to do, but didn't want to let people know what I was going to do for sure. And then the 4th of July, I told everybody I was going to be coming back, and I feel like it was a weight off my shoulders, and I could just go in and just play my game like I have been the last 4 years. Just give it my all, leave my all on the court every game, and I just feel like I'm doing that to finish out my career.
You know, I thought there might have been a little bit of a tell in an answer you had in Evansville there before that national championship game. You're talking about wanting to send Trevor out on a good note.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't say anything about the both of us going out at the same time.
So
I thought there might be an indication that you're coming back.
Yeah. I didn't want to give out too many details, but I'm surprised that you caught that. Yeah, because my parents caught that too. They was like, "Oh, you want to send Trev out on a good note, so that means you're coming back." So, but no, yeah, I wanted to send Trev out on a good note, and we did that. He's doing his thing this year. Just coming back this last year, it was best for me and my career, my family, and everybody for Northwest. So I'm just happy that I made that decision.
What's the future look like for you right now?
Future looks like UCO on Thursday.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
good answer.
I'm taking it one game at a time, and just trying to focus on the next win, the next opponent. Just trying to stay focused, and then we'll figure out that at the end of the season.
Get a chance to hear from Trev from time to time right now.
Oh yeah, that's my guy. He's doing his thing right now. I think he's averaging like 30 or something. Man, he's going crazy. All the best the world for him. Love what he's doing. Hopefully the Rockets call him up and actually play him, because because I think they need him. But
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, he's doing his thing. I'm just proud of him, everything that he's doing, and hopefully he can keep it up.
All right. Well, Diego, as always, it's great to have you with us here on the show, and I guess we've kept you long enough to get away from the little weight training here this afternoon.
I guess I'll go see Joe Q then.
Okay. All right. Diego Bernard with us here on our KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Once again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. We'll be back and have more right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarylandDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking at Northwest Missouri State Women's Basketballs, we are joined by Peyton Kilderman and Lindsay Kilderman. The Bearcats getting set for a road trip going through central Oklahoma, down in Edmond, Oklahoma, then up to Wichita, Kansas to take on Newman. Lindsay, Peyton, appreciate you both coming on and chatting with us here today. Before we kind of got going, talking about how the semester actually ramps up coming up tomorrow with classes getting back underway at Northwest Missouri State University, how was the break? Was it kind of nice to get away for just a little bit and then come back and focus on basketball and not really have to kind of worry about the full workload of classes, everything else going on with that too?
Yeah, it was really good. You know, it was good to go home for, we had like a week or so at home around Christmas and stuff. And then when we got back, I kind of liked the whole just basketball thing, no classes. So that was fun.
Yeah, I think if you could do that year round, that's what we would like to do. But obviously, you have to do some school in there.
They kind of go hand in hand, of course. You know, when we started out the season, went up to Drake, played in Des Moines, and a chance to kind of be like a homecoming for you guys, and of course, going back up over the holidays too. But was it nice to have that chance to reunite just as the season's getting rolling, but then head back home over Christmas, see everybody, and kind of renew some of that as well before really hitting this big stretch of a lot of MIAA games coming up these next few weeks?
Yeah, I think it's always fun going home and working out in those gyms that you did in high school. You know, we got to see our high school coaches again, some old teammates, and just familiar faces. So that's always fun, and getting to talk to them and some old players of ours. So that's always something fun to look forward to.
Lindsay, when you think about that and going home and doing the work and everything, kind of getting back to the roots, not that, I mean, you're just early in your career. It's not that there's not the fire, but it almost reignites it a little bit too, because there are probably some younger players too that are in high school and junior high looking up to you too and what you do, and it kind of gives a little bit more meaning too to what you're doing at Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it for sure does. When we go home and, like, you're in the gyms and you see other people, like, looking up to you and stuff, it's like, okay, now when you get back to campus and you're back on your team, you're like, okay, you kind of have this sense of, like, all right, let's go, and, like, here we go.
Well, the Kelderman sisters here at Northwest Missouri State together, and I talked to Coach Meyer, I think, prior to last season at some point, or maybe even last previous summer, whatever, but you two had signed, you're coming to Maryville, and kind of asked, was this a package deal, or was this, how did this work out to get both sisters? And he's like, no, we wanted both to come in here, and it was kind of just seeing how it worked. For both of you, was it, we want to find a place to play together, or did it just work out that Northwest wanted both of us, and this was kind of the place that worked out?
Yeah, I think looking back at the whole recruiting process, this place definitely stood out like more compared to others, just because they really did recruit us individually here, and they each, you know, we had relationships with Meyer and other coaches and stuff, but it was more so like a focus on just my relationship with them, and then Lindsay had her relationship with people, and then it kind of just happened where we're both like, oh yeah, we want to play basketball here, and it wasn't necessarily like, oh, we have to come together and I'm doing this because Lindsay's coming here. But I think that was special just to have kind of our own recruiting with it, and then finding out that that's what we both wanted to do at the same time.
As twins, is it kind of nice to be together, but then also having that chance to have your own personality and that the own individualism that kind of comes with being on the basketball floor and your own major and everything else going into it?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's cool being twins because I always say, like, we have a built-in rebounder, and like whenever we go to the gym, like, we go together and we push each other to get better and stuff like that. But then like last year, freshman year, when we were in the dorms, we both had our own separate roommates, like, on the basketball team, so we didn't, like, room together. So it's like you still feel like you're by yourself and individual, but yet we're still together. So it's fun.
The built-in rebounder, that's pretty good. I saw this graphic come up in the summer. How many shots did you guys make through the summer? 50,000 or something, some ridiculous
it
number?
It was like 20,000.
20,000, yeah. That was the goal that Meyer challenged some girls to, like, oh, over the summer, can you try and get 20,000 made threes? So we definitely did that over the summer. We're like, sure, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it as fast as we can. So I think we might have gone a little too overboard at the beginning, some might say. But, hey, it was fun and definitely something to keep us motivated in the summer.
The work ethic that comes with it to be at this level, obviously, is huge. Going through what Northwest, you know, 7-7, 2-6 in MIAA play. You guys have won 3 of your last 5, but there have been some tough games in there too. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of break through that and not allow a difficult game to get you down to where you can bounce back? And like we saw, came back from a tough loss before break to Emporia. You got 2 against Northeastern and Rogers, a tough loss to Missouri Western, but 2 big games coming up with UCO now and Newman.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We just have to, well, kind of as Coach Meyer said, is like you can't get too down about, like, yeah, we've lost some games that we should have won, and we know that. But it's like you got to move on past that. And so it's like these games ahead, we really got to focus and, like, play our best so we can get those wins, so we don't sit after the game and, like, whoa, we should have done this, we should have done that. Like, no, we got to keep moving forward and bring in our whole team together.
You know, whenever you think about the short memory, too, of, all right, one possession doesn't go our way, we got to bounce back, whether that's giving up a bucket, whether that's having a turnover on one end, it feels like this team has done a good job of finding a way that we're going to have a short memory. You gave up 55 points to the best offensive team in the MIAA despite having a tough night where shots aren't going down for you. Is that just something that kind of comes to territory of, you know what, we're maturing within this basketball game, and good or bad, next possession is a new possession?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing and something we always talk about on the court, like next play. You know, we could have a really good possession or a really bad possession, but regardless, you're focused on the next play and not dwelling on the past or worried about the future. You're just focused on, like, the right now. And I think that's a big thing with our team, just to get our confidence going and everything. Just not worrying about past games or, oh, our record might not be what we want it to be, and just being like, okay, well, what can we do now to fix that?
Defense, how hard is it to kind of buy in and kind of figure out as a young player of, like, all right, this is what's expected of me in this program, and I want to hit shots too, but I have to be able to do this on this end in order to get playing time?
Oh, yeah. No, you for sure have to come in and be locked in on defense because, I mean, at the end of the day, defense is the one thing you can always control. Like, whether your shot's going in or not, you can't really control that, but it's like defense, you can always bring it, so you got to come in, be ready to go, locked in on defense, because we know that we can at least be good on that end.
Bearcats 7-7 on the season, getting set to take on Central Oklahoma this Thursday on the road in Edmond, Oklahoma. 5:30 tip-off for that one. Edmond's been a place the Bearcats have played well at over the years and picked up quite a few wins. It's a team with a new head coach, but traditionally the Broncos pretty good overall. What are your guys' expectations? What do you kind of expect out of this team this weekend?
Yeah, this is another game where we'll definitely probably see a press and a little bit of pressure from the other team. So for us, we've just been focusing on being fundamentally sound and just taking care of the ball and then trying to execute on the offensive end.
Chance to get on the road, and this is one of the longer road trips too, getting away, the bus ride, the hotel stay, everything that goes with it. How fun is this to kind of get away? And again, you got classwork, you got to do some homework, but it's more just kind of going out and being with the friends and teammates, right?
Yeah, I think this will be really good for us, and we'll all just kind of enjoy some team bonding, like, on the road and on the car ride, stuff like that. So I think it'll be good for our team and kind of get us on the right track and just rolling.
talked to Kaylee Keston and Molly Hartnett on the show back in, like, November. And Molly said that she was probably, like, the funniest one on the team, whether it's the group chat or just on the bus. Is she the funniest, or is that just kind of Molly?
Oh, I don't – I like Jill. Jill's I'm probably going with Jill. You know, she's just a natural and just – Jill or Emma, I'd say. They're just naturally funny. But I feel like our whole team is pretty funny, and we just have a good time. You never really know what's going to happen on the road trips. Like, gosh, one road trip, Lainey, like, jumped into the pool all of a sudden. Like, just weird things happen. But that's so fun, and it definitely brings us together, and it's memories that will go way beyond the basketball games.
I got to ask, too, because I've seen this picture pop up a few different times, I feel like, the last few Decembers. How does Emma always end up dressing as Santa Claus at the team party?
That's just, I don't know. That's just, she's like, I'm coming as Santa. And we're like, okay.
Who has that in the closet? I mean, come on.
I mean, I think she got it. And now it's like, you have to bring that out. Now that you have it, you can't go a Christmas without it. So,
yeah.
You know, and coming out of the break, the Bearcats were 2-0. So maybe that should kind of be her pre-game wardrobe every game.
I mean, she should just warm up with it.
That would be awesome. I'm all for it. Well, Peyton and Lindsay, thanks so much for coming on the show. Looking forward to these games this upcoming weekend at UCO and at Newman Thursday and Saturday. And good luck the rest of the semester as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Lindsay Kelderman, Peyton Kelderman joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We will take a timeout and be back as we talk indoor track and field here on KXCV KLRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Time now to talk indoor track and field with the head coach of the Northwest track and field team, Brandon Masters, along with hurdler and sprinter off the team, Olivia Satterfield. And Coach, back in a big meet coming up this weekend, but not thanks since we talked last. You've had a chance to see your team come back from Christmas break.
Yeah, you know, we came back on Friday and had some testing, and then Saturday and had some more testing, and just kind of give me a feel for how well we did over break. And you know, for the most part, I think we did a really good job. There's some that did a fantastic job and some that, you know, maybe have some work to do.
And I think one of those that did a fantastic job, from what you're telling me, is Olivia right here.
Yeah, Olivia done a great job, and I know that because she was here most of the time. So when we were able to have practice, I don't think that she missed a single day or maybe one here or there, but she knows the value of you know, practicing and using this winter break wisely, and Hughes is a good place to do those reps.
And Olivia, coming from Papillion, Nebraska, not a far drive for you to be able to stay down here for over the Christmas holidays. What are the main driving force that kept you in Maryville to continue your workouts here?
Mostly, I just think Hughes is such an asset, like, to have. It's a warm place to run rather than the cold outside where you can't really get fast reps in. It's not really worth it. And having your teammates here to motivate you and keep you on pace, get all your reps in, that just makes it a lot easier. You get to stay on your normal schedule of having an actual practice time, whereas when I'm home, it's like, oh, I'll go a little later, I'll go a little later. I end up doing the workout at 9 p.m., and it's not always great. So just having that routine and having Hughes and having your teammates, keeping things as normal as possible from when we're in our preseason, when we're in regular season, that is what drives me to come back.
I would imagine, too, when that week or so where we had about zero or sub-zero temperatures out, you're running in Hughes and thinking, I think I made a wise decision here.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard for me. You know, as a coach, I put out workouts, and I have to guess, you know, where they can do it, how they can do it. Some are outside, some are inside. So I do have alternative workouts based on, you know, it's cold outside. They have to run their high school track or what have you. And so knowing those alternative workouts aren't as good as the primary workouts. You cannot lace up your spikes and go fast when it's, you know, 20 degrees out, and that's good over this break, it seemed like. But you cannot do that, and so you have to adjust accordingly. And so people like Liv that understands the value, she didn't always do this. You know, she's grown it as years. You know, she's a senior this year, and so she's knows the value of making sure winter break is really good, and she got to lace up the spikes and go fast when you know it was required of her, and that's why she's at the level she is right now.
Yeah, boy, that winter break time just presents a lot of challenges for the indoor track and field season, and where it's a different challenge than I think any other sport where you had that one meet I think before there in December, and then all of a sudden everything kind of grinds to a halt for a little bit, and the chance to be able to work out somewhere, it really makes it tough for your athletes. It's maybe been gaining a lot of ground up to that particular point to continue to progress.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I make the analogy of let's talk about Ben's basketball team, and it's like, hey, guys, go home, and for four weeks, I want you to go to the local park and shoot baskets, you know, outside, and then come back and then expect to be good. And that's what we're kind of, you know, trying to attempt to do with our kids, because we only have 6 weeks until our MIAA championship. So our winter break is vitally important. And so if they had a great break, then it's very likely that they'll have a nice indoor championship. If they did not have a nice break and work out hard, then maybe we're training for outdoor. It really is potentially to that level. And so I know that we did a pretty good job because of the test that we do. And so I'm less anxiety than I was last week when I talked to you about where we're currently at. I think the kids took it seriously and did a real nice job over break for the most part. There are a few anomalies.
I would imagine, again, some of it might be weather-related where some maybe didn't have the opportunity to do the type of workout that they would like, but for the most part, it gives you a good indication of who's really serious about the indoor season here.
Yeah, it really does, and you know, we tend to see our kids evolve as they go through this program and understand that, you know, it does take a winter break. We have to take it seriously. I want to achieve my goals, and so therefore I need to have a great winter break. And you know, maybe it's the fact that the light at the end of their career, the end of the tunnel here, is getting brighter. Libby only has a little bit left, and so she's taking it more seriously than she did as maybe a freshman.
And Libby, as you were going through the winter workouts here, what were the main things that you were focusing on here the last few weeks?
Mostly on just working on my aerobic capacity, getting faster, trying to finish every workout and do as many reps as I could without stopping earlier, without taking the minimum reps, or just trying to basically catch up, make sure that I'm doing the work during winter break so that I can set myself up for success, I guess.
Yeah, you know, so a lot of the workouts, what she's talking about is there's a lot of workouts that I will give a range. I'll give a range of 8 to 12 reps, or I'll give a range from 2 to 3 minutes on rest or something like that. And so what Liv's done a really nice job this year, from the start of this year through winter break, is if it's 8 to 12, she's doing 12. If it's 2 to 3 minutes, she's doing 2 minutes rest. And so that's just going to make you better in the end, as long as she's then running the pace that is required of that energy system that day. So not to go into the scientific part too much, but Liv understands the program inside and out and upside down. She knows that if she can maximize each day, and there's days when I ask them to be greedy today, take what you can. And there's other days I'm like, get what you need. And so she understands that now as a, you know, an adult and been through this program, she could go out and coach my program pretty easily if she wanted to, but she understands that, and so that's why she's taking those maximum reps and doing the best she can each day.
And Olivia, too, I would imagine seeing what you're doing here has to help out maybe some of the younger athletes coming up through the program to see how they what they need to do to get to where you're currently at.
We were just talking about this, but like when I was a freshman, I obviously didn't come as much, but we had our seniors coming back and trying to tell us, like, oh, you should really come back. It helps a lot. And then so the next year you come back for a little bit. You might go home half of it, but you just keep coming back more often the older you get, honestly, like Coach said, because obviously you have less time, but also because you just know it makes more sense. And so, yeah, we try to encourage our teammates to come back, our younger teammates to come back. The freshmen, they live in dorms, so we try to tell them, you can stay at our place if you need to. We'll drive you back. Just encourage them to come because, I mean, the better our teammates do during break, obviously the better the team does too, so you want that.
Yeah, and it's obviously an individual events, and we don't have very many times when we're out there, you know, with our teammates other than relays. But it is a team sport, and what Liv wants is she wants the women to win a championship. We want to be top team in the conference. We want to be top two, top three. Obviously, the girls were second last year indoors, and that was a big deal, and they don't want to be second this year. And so that's why it's important. But we need everybody to be back, and we do have some very talented freshmen, and we want them to be back and train, because Liv knows that's important. That's how we get to be the best that we could be at the end of February.
You know, when you look at Olivia, she's making a name for herself in the record books at Northwest, you know, just moving up the list in a lot of different events. What are some of the things that's really impressed you with what she's done?
Well, the big thing with Liv is, I think the change this year that made a lot of difference for her is Olivia is a 400 hurdler. That's her event. She knows that she doesn't technically have an event indoors that is her primary. Her primary is outdoor only. But she also knows that the 400 hurdles, you better be fast in the 400, and you better have the strength of a 600-yard person to be able to do what she wants to do outdoors. She's a great hurdler. That's not the problem. The problem is being able to finish the race, to finish those last three hurdles effectively, and then be able to drop those 1 or 2 seconds that she needs to make a national team on the 400 hurdle event. So that's where she's been different this year, is she's taken indoor way more seriously, rep after rep after rep. She's doing everything right in the 22 of the 24. That's the 22 hours you're not with me. She's always done a real nice job at practice. She does a great job. But where I see a lot of differences, she's doing better outside of practice, and I don't know a lot of details, but I understand that she's very motivated to hit her goals, and that's a big part of hitting the goals that she wants to is what the 22 of the 24.
And Olivia, what are some of the goals you have right now?
I want to indoor. I just want to PR in some events, do the best that I can, honestly, if help wherever I can, whichever event that would be. And then outdoor in the 400 hurdles, I want to PR again, and I want a Provo, so a 60 point would be nice. So yeah, those are mostly my goals.
I think the ultimate goal, and you can say it, it's okay. You'd love to go to a national championship. I mean, that would be great. You know, top 20 ladies in the country get to do that, have that opportunity. And, you know, being a provisional qualifier means that also if you have a 3.25 GPA, academic All-American would be a goal that we've discussed, you know, between that and having a chance to be on the list and maybe get a chance to go to nationals. That would be pretty cool. And nationals this year in Colorado, so I'm sure that's a nice little draw as well. It's never a bad thing. So.
No, not at all. And, Luffy, what are some of your favorite events that you're competing in?
My all-time favorite event's obviously 400 hurdles. I really like the 60-meter hurdles. I don't do it very often anymore, but understandable. And then I like the open four. 600 yard. That one's nice. That one's okay.
She does not like that one, but she knows it's good for her. And she's pretty good at it as well. In fact, she's going to be, you know, looked to score in the 600 yard for indoor conference, even though, again, it's not indoors, not her primary, you know, season. Outdoor is her primary season with the 400 hurdles. But, you know, Liv's always the threat to be on the 4x4 and do well there, too. So, you know, the nice thing about Liv is that she could do almost anything. I mean, anything I asked her to do, she's like, okay, yeah, okay. She may not like it, but that doesn't mean she's not going to go 100% in that event that day.
I would think the 600 is kind of an odd length there, where it's kind of in between a full-out sprint and other things. That really makes it a little tough. Just what's the strategy involved in doing the 600 as opposed to some of the other events?
Yeah, I think that's what kind of makes it hard is the strategy. I don't know how much of strategy there really is. Usually, you're kind of expected to get out like a 400 and run pretty close to a 400 time and then just hold on. You just have to have a little more aerobic strength. You have to be just stronger in general to finish it out. But, yeah, that's kind of the...
Yeah, it's tough. It's a very tough event. It's almost like you take the 400 and just extend that middle section by 150 meters. You know, it's 550 meters versus the 400, you know. So it is a difficult race. There's only a couple of conferences that still have an MIAA, Big 12, and there may be a couple others, but it is a unique event. We love it because I love that 400, 800 groups that gives some of those kids who have a little bit different talent set to then go to the 600 yard. Because just because you're, you could be more suited for 400, you could be more suited for 800, but those kind of caught in the middle really don't have an event if it's not the 4-8. So it's a beautiful thing. I wish we had it outdoors too, honestly, because we don't. So those kids either have to be 400 hurdlers, which she is, or get better at the 4 or get better at the 8, because there's nothing in the middle.
Now, I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but you got a meet coming up in Lincoln, Nebraska here, the Graduate Open this upcoming weekend. And what's some of the big things that you're looking for out of your team this weekend?
Well, the big thing is I look for the kids to compete. I don't care about the time so much. Our time's great. Yeah, that's great. We're going to have some times. We're going to have some personal bests. We're going to have some of that. But for the most part, it's running on a 200 bank. Virginia Beach is where Nationals will be, and that's a 200 bank. And so we got to learn how to run our primary event on a 200 bank. It's different than running a 300 flat here at Hughes. It's a different type of race. And but the big thing is I want the kids to go in there, and I want them to warm up properly. I want them to compete their hearts out. I want them to cool down properly. And then I want them to get ready for their next event if they have one. And I think learning how to prepare, compete, and then prepare for the next event is a big deal, because many of our kids are going to be doing multiple events at the MIAA championships, both prelims and finals, so day one and day two. And so it's also cool because it is a two-day meet. So we get to do a couple of events. You know, day one, most of our kids are going to do the 400. So the men, we have a big list of 400 guys and a big list of 400 ladies, and then they'll come back and do a secondary event then the next day.
And Olivia, being from the Omaha area, how much fun is it to go up and compete in Lincoln?
Yeah, I've only ever gotten to go to Lincoln one other time because we won our freshman year. But I really like going to Lincoln because obviously a lot of my friends go to Lincoln, so they can come, and then coaches from high school, some of them come down. My parents come to a lot of meets here too, but it's a just easier drive for them. So yeah, it's always fun to go to Lincoln for me personally.
You know, it's funny, we try to go to this meet quite often, but it's been postponed several times with ice, and the COVID obviously took a year out. And so we're happy to go back, and we're taking a pretty good squad. And believe me, I've looked at the weather because it normally gets canceled, or icy weather from here to there. And but I've looked at the weather, and it looks pretty good so far.
You know, back before the Hughes Fieldhouse and before Washburn and before Pittsburgh State had their indoor facilities, really Lincoln was a common destination for the indoor track and field team for several meets during the year.
Yeah, we went quite a bit back in the day, and you know, even prior to my arrival, obviously I arrived with Hughes, you know. But it really makes it easier for us budget-wise, but also, you know, being able to take you know, have more people compete by having a home venue. So it definitely takes pressure off the budget a little bit when we can have a majority of our meets at home. But, yeah, we like it. They run a great meet, and it's a great facility, and it's a fun – being on a 200 bank makes you feel fast, and it's a different experience.
All right. Well, Brandon and Olivia, it's been great having you with us here on the show here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, Olivia Satterfield with us, along with Brandon Masters on the Northwest Missouri State Coaches Show. We'll be back to have more right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers has been supporting farmers in Northwest Missouri since 1928 by providing grain merchandising, tire, and agronomy services. More information is at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's tennis teams in Mark Rosewell. And Mark, wintertime, a lot of people don't think that this is a time for tennis, but it's a busy time for you with your athletes getting back on campus and getting ready to go for the spring semester.
Yeah, happy New Year, John. We're classes start tomorrow, so we're actually going to start practicing next week, and you know, having Hughes now is just a wonderful thing, getting a good jump on things and so forth.
You know, we were talking with Brandon Masters just a moment ago about the issues between going from the fall semester to the spring semester, making sure that the players are ready to go. And it's a similar situation for you now. Your spring or your fall semester with the ITA stuff finished up late October, I believe, or mid-October or so. But trying to make sure that you got your players ready to go for the spring is always something that's important for you guys as well.
Yeah, and these days matches seem to be starting earlier. When we played, you know, matches would be about the 1st of March, but now with so many schools that are having access to indoor facilities and so forth, you know, I mean, we'll have 4 or 5 indoor matches before we ever even step outside in February, so just a lot more tennis.
And how important is a Hughes Fieldhouse for your program?
Oh, I think it's just, I mean, I spend 2/3 of my time over there. I've gotten to know everybody in the community, you know, walking over there, that's for sure. But no, it's just a great resource. You know, the lighting's great over there, plenty of room. We have access to it, you know, where we can use it much of the time. It's a game changer.
And for your men's and women's teams, again, as you say, the season getting underway here and probably in the next month there in February with some matches started. Just talk about the strengths of both of your teams right now.
Well, we'll start with the men, okay. The preseason rankings, in fact, we're turning things in right now, but it looks like that – we're probably going to be ranked 1 or 2 in the region and somewhere in there, I don't know, and probably top 20 in the country, maybe higher than that. So, you know, a good solid team coming back with a lot of veteran and a couple All-Americans returning. The women, little different story there. We have a team that we just missed the NCAA tournament last year on the last week, and it wasn't a match we lost, but something happened. Somebody won the conference tournament, took the spot. So we were very disappointed about that, amongst a couple other things. And we feel like our team is going to be stronger now. I'll know more. We've got three new players coming in January. Actually, two of them are here now that hopefully are going to help us with the nucleus. Now, we still got Vera, the returning All-American, is our number one player. So I think what you're going to see with our women is we're hopefully it works out this way, but we're going to continue to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, and that's what the kind of the way you want to be as far as just peaking at the right time, peaking right around that MIAA tournament time, and hopefully then move you into the regional action.
Oh, for sure, John, and really for both genders. You know, the men had five teams in the top 25 last year, just like any sport in the MIAA. It's just really strong. But on the women, you know, keep in mind that Central Oklahoma, they were runner-up in the country last year, and they won the conference for us. So we're going to be playing a lot of good competition, particularly early in the year. But, you know, we've never backed off anybody. We'll play anybody, you know. And I always feel like you said, in the end, conference time, NCAA time, you've played the people you needed to play to continue on.
Yeah, a tough non-conference schedule that really helps out, regardless of the outcome early in the season. That's got to pay off there at the end of the year.
No, I think so, yeah.
All right, well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show, and I know we'll be talking to you as we get closer to the start of the season.
Okay, John, thanks for having me on.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell, who's with us here on the KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe Coaches Show. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, it's basketball, as the Northwest Missouri State women's and men's basketball teams travel to Edmond, Oklahoma. For the women, they will tip off at 5:30. The men, right after that, right around 7:30 or so with the start of that game. And, of course, you can hear both of those right here on KXCV, KRNW. Then they'll be back on the road Saturday afternoon in Wichita to face Newman as part of this road trip. That'll do it for our coaches show for this afternoon. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.